Please turn back in your Bibles, if you would, to the first reading, which was the one from Colossians. Just there it is, page 214 in the Church Bibles, New Testament section at the back. And if you've been coming along in recent weeks, you'll know that we've been going through the book of Colossians, passage by passage, and we've reached chapter 2, verse 6 and following. And chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 are key verses for the whole letter. If the whole of the Colossians message, the message to the Colossians, had to be summed up by just two of its verses, it would be these two. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. How do we continue? How do we grow and develop as Christians? How do we grow in our spiritual life? By continuing where we are in Christ. And going deeper where we are in Christ, reaching higher where we are in Christ. So the picture here in 6 and 7, sort of combination picture, there's a picture of a tree and a picture of a building. How do we grow and develop? How do we go on? By being rooted and built up in Jesus, in him. We get the idea, don't we? It's quite straightforward, but I'll just indulge the illustration. First, with the tree. I've been fortunate to live in Point and Vicarage with lots of trees in the garden. They actually grow quite well, given the amount of rain and sun we have. But if I wanted my trees to grow even better, what do I do? Do I say, I think I'll try them in different places next year? Dig them up, find a new spot, put them in? Well, I don't think so. There won't be many websites giving that advice, because moving trees usually sets them back, disturbs the roots, messes up the growth, and quite often results in the death of the trees. Once a tree's established, leave it where it is. Feed its roots where it is. Encourage its shoots where it is. And that is how to help the best growth that there can be from a tree. And what does this mean? Well, as Paul and Timothy say, first, as you receive Jesus as King and Lord, continue to live your lives in him. You know, when you became a Christian, when you were discipled, when you were first helped to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, as boss in your life, recognition that Jesus would be in charge from now on. That's how it started. Well, continue like that, because that's how we can grow best. And secondly, be established in the faith as you were taught. And here the faith is the Christian message the apostles have brought and taught. I think there's a danger here that some of us talk too much about our faith. It is important to talk about our faith, but if we want to grow, focusing too much on our faith can cause us to go around in ever-decreasing circles. If we want to grow, it's about being established in the faith, as we were taught. That's how we continue and grow. And a big help in this is to be full of thanksgiving for what we were taught. When we pray our prayers, what are we thanking the Lord for? Well, it's so easy to take for granted those things that are most important and to to thank the Lord for all sorts of new or different things, and so to go off looking for new ideas and new ideas which can take us off the rails. So Paul suggests, to help us avoid that problem, be full of thanksgiving for the faith which you were taught. Thank the Lord for the things which brought you first to acknowledging Jesus as Lord. Thank the Lord for his death and resurrection. Thank the Lord for the Bible. Thank the Lord for the gospel. And if we thank the Lord for those things, we're much less likely to go off the rails. We're much more likely to have renewed spiritual growth. That's the message of verses 6 and 7, key verses in this whole book. And now let's look at the following verses as well, because there's a description of lots of ways of going off the rails and avoiding going off the rails. Verses 8 to 23. We've already had a sniff that this is the way things were going. In verse 4 of the chapter, we were told, "I'm saying this so no one may deceive you with plausible arguments." Colossae was that sort of place. It was a real boiling pot of ideas. It was on a big crossroads in the middle of Turkey, inland. There was a big valley that went east to west, and there was also a big route that went north to south. There was Colossae at the crossroads, with traders and others coming from all directions. And as they came with all their different ideas and philosophies and things that they wanted to sell. Lots of them were salesmen, and as they sold their products, they often sold their ideas. And so Paul was wanting to help them. And in verse 8, we get a feel for that help. You know, continue in your spiritual growth. Don't be knocked off course. Don't go off the rails. So verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. So don't be kidnapped, he's saying. Don't be kidnapped by people who have different ideas, who might claim to have superior knowledge, extra knowledge that you need. And that's part of their sales talk. So whether it's scientists pretending their extra knowledge about science qualifies them to tell us how to live, or some religious leader or celebrity of some sort telling us how they've found the secret to life and how we need their new thing. And so we hear these messages. You need this to have full knowledge. But if you're in Christ, says Paul, you've already got the full thing. Can you see in verse 9? For in him, Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. Don't be kidnapped. Don't be taken away by the sales talk. You have fullness in Christ. Don't need extra, more. That won't add. That won't bring growth. Just be rooted, established in Christ. And he goes on to point to Jesus, his death and his resurrection. The cross and the resurrection power. These are the things. These are the things that help us forward. These are the things to concentrate on. Jesus is above all things. Don't need anything else. And people were using phrases in those days like elemental spirits of the universe. Don't know, we might hear phrases nowadays like reconnecting with the basic elements of nature, being at one with the world. Listening to the planet as people try to sell us whatever it is, whatever spiritual idea they think we ought to have instead of listening to Jesus Christ. Don't be kidnapped. Jesus is the one who created the universe. He's the one to look to. If you are a saved and committed Christian, then you bow to the one who is the head of every ruler and authority, who has disarmed the other rulers and authority in his triumph, is how that paragraph finishes off, verses 8 to 15. Don't be kidnapped. And then in verse 16 following, don't be condemned by people trying to sound extra religious or pious. You're not doing this, you're not doing that. This is what you need to do. This is the impressive stuff. Therefore, verse 16, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food, drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. Now, don't get this wrong. Paul was someone who chose self-discipline. He prayed regularly, observed important Jewish festivals and rituals in his daily, weekly, annual progress and spiritual growth. But these were not the important things. These were not the things that mattered. These were not the things that he imposed on others as though that was going to help them forward. And you can see from the phrases that were used, there was a right mishmash of things there in Colossae. Yes, Sabbaths were a Jewish idea from the Bible, but so often people use the Sabbath idea to tell others what not to do. Festivals, new moons, food and drink all had basis in the Old Testament, but so often these things were used as rules to beat people with. Now, Paul was somebody who, if others had scruples about abstaining from certain food or drink, he respected their conscience, but he was now a Christian. He was not going to be made to feel like a second-class believer by people saying he needed to do these things their way. Don't let anyone condemn you like that, he said. If you don't join other people's festivals or patterns of worship, don't let people condemn you. New moons, etc., probably reflected mainly pagan worship. It was widespread in the Roman Empire. And the pressure to join in was immense in that society. The expectation to follow whatever was going on according to the whims of the emperor, the trendy thinking, or the politically correct social action, it was large in a centralized society like Rome. But Paul said, don't let them have a go at you. Don't be condemned. And if people get het up about certain issues, certain behaviors, remember, Paul says, they are just shadows, not the substance. Can you see in verse 17? These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Don't get lost in the shadowlands, is what he's saying. Don't let others' over-keenness about certain things, let them try to disqualify you. Don't be disqualified, verse 18 and 19. Don't let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking. So often people have this extra bit. And if you don't have it, then you're not a real whatever it is. We're real Christian. You haven't got real spiritual life unless you've got this. And so you feel disqualified. Don't be. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on stuff like that, which really is peripheral. And they're not holding fast to the head, verse 19. From which the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. There's another picture. If you want spiritual growth, hold fast to the head. Don't let people complicate things for you or have an unhealthy focus on one thing or another. If you want to grow, stick with Jesus Christ as your head. Body parts connected to the head will still thrive and grow. People invent extra regulations or overemphasize peripheral things. Do not do this, do not do that, as though that's what matters for spiritual life and growth. Don't swallow it. Finishes off in verse 20 and following. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the universe, why do you live as if you still belonged to the world? Why do you submit to regulations, worldly ones? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All these regulations refer to things that perish with use. They're simply human commands and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-imposed piety, humility, severe treatment of the body, but they're of no value in checking self-indulgence. In our confused times, people are often very impressed, aren't they, if you follow a certain diet for religious, spiritual reasons, or if you wear certain clothes for certain spiritual religions, religious reasons. There's a sort of quite shallow impressiveness about it, and people notice it and comment on it. But it's not what changes us. We need to be changed from the inside out. These things are no value in checking self-indulgence, things that really matter. If you want to grow spiritually, continue to live out what you received when you became Christ's. Be built up where your roots are. Be established in the faith that you were taught. And to finish off with that other picture, the picture of the building. If I have a building which needs developing, maybe it's seen better days or whatever, what do I do? Do I move it? Do I say, oh, I think this house will do better over there? Do I dismantle it brick by brick, put it up somewhere else, thinking that'll be better? It'll go well over there. Well, no, that's not how building works. The wise thing with buildings is to leave them where they are, strengthen the foundations where they are. Maybe build a bit of an extension or something to make the building more useful and more able to serve its purpose where it is. The picture is grow and develop where you are. That's what Paul is saying. Grow in Christ. Not by moving on to new ideas or superior knowledge or trendy calls to action. We grow by going deeper where we are in Christ and keeping on track with thankfulness for that. It's a key portion of the book of Colossians and summed up in those two key verses. And hope it helps in home groups, but most of all in your life as you seek to grow spiritually in Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Please write it in our hearts that it might be lived in our lives for your name's sake. Amen.